There are a lot of things that happen in the Seder. It's a very long process. There are 15 simonim, kadesh, orchatz, karpas, yakas. We go to the whole Seder. And there's a lot of activity. There really is a lot of activity that takes place in that period of time from the time Yom Tov begins until you go to sleep. We compress into that short period of time an enormous number of activities. We make brachos, we do mitzvahs. There's a lot going on. I want to try to ask you a question, and I'm missing parts to the answer. And everything that I'm saying is very serious. I don't mean this to be a litzonis, to be a joke. This is not Purim Torah, even though it may seem a little bit off the beaten track. But I really mean this very, very seriously, to bring out certain points. I want to try to show to you that in the Seder captures the entire year. In the Seder, there are real elements of every single one of the Mo'adei Hashana, including the fast days, including the Shalosh Regalim, including the Yom Tovim, the Rabban, Chanukah, and Purim. Pesach is the beginning. It's the first holiday. We have a general principle in Halacha that in the beginning incorporates everything. For example, on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, it's not just Rosh Chodesh. It's the Rosh Chodesh of all of the Rosh Chodashim. It's the chief of the Rosh Chodashim. It's not just the beginning of the year, the first day of the year. In this day is the template of, it's a microcosm of the entire year. The din is handed down on Rosh Hashanah, what's going to happen to a person the entire year. Likewise, when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach, in the short period of time from when the night begins until we finish our Seder, in the events, in the our behavior, in the activity that we engage in, we are touching upon every single holiday festival that will occur in the next 12 months. And it's, in a way, getting us ready, conditioning us to what we are required to do in the year ahead of us. And as we go through the other Mo'adim, the other Chagim, the other fast days, the other times of the year, we just devote an entire day to that principle. Okay, so you'll see what I mean in a few moments. And as I'm warning you, I don't have a full answer to every single one of the Mo'adim, and I'm just using this as a springboard to touch upon certain things. Okay, we come to the night of the Seder. We're in the Seder. Show me where in the Seder you connect to the Moed of Rosh Hashanah. What does the Pesach Seder have to do with Rosh Hashanah? What could there possibly be?
Yachol
Me'Rosh Chodesh. Okay, that's part. Okay, so I'll give you two.
When the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah begins, Arba Rosh Hashanah, the first thing is.
Okay, Yachol Me'Rosh Chodesh.
Echad B'Nisan starts with Echad B'Nisan, not Echad B'Tishrei.
Echad B'Nisan. Okay. But let's talk about what can you, an element in this Pesach say that takes us to Rosh Hashanah? And I don't mean it's honest. I don't, this is not a Purim Torah. This is something very real. So right off the bat, there's a very just to start a little bit with what we're trying to bring out. There's a very beautiful var from the Sar Shalom Shel Belz. I believe he was the first Belzer Rebbe, if not mistaken. The Sar Shalom Shel Belz, he has a very beautiful word, and he says, the Shulchan Aruch begins, it says in the Ramah, or in the Machaber, I don't remember, Machalkim Koloyos Ve'egoizim Litinoikos. When the Seder begins, we had this in the Daf Yomi not that long ago, when the Seder begins, there's a Minhag Yisrael to distribute to children Koloyos, parched ears of grain. It was a delicacy, before they had Hershey's and cotton candy, and all these fancy things they have today, what were the delicacies, the treats that you would give children? Kiloyos, toasted kernels of wheat, ve'egoizim, and nuts. Children in those days did not have such big hasogos of who knows what. They didn't have Toys R Us. You know, they had simple little hasogos. You give a child toasted kernels of wheat and nuts. Wow, that was a real treat, a delicacy.
Healthier too.
This is what you're supposed to do on the night of the Seder. And there are different understandings of why you do this. I think the Rashbam, it says, very simply, you tell the child in advance you're going to give him a treat. He's so excited, he takes a nap during the day, so he should be awake to get the treat. Because if he does not take a nap, he'll fall asleep. No, he'll fall asleep, and will come the evening, he's going to be sleeping, and he's not going to get the treat. And if he doesn't get the treat at night, he'll never get it. Avar zmanai batel karbonai. So to make sure that he gets his treat, the child on his own sees to it that he takes a nap during the day, so he should be awake to get that treat. Oh, once the child already is up waiting for his treat, he'll be present at the Seder, he'll be wide awake, he'll pay attention, and the father will be able to give over to him the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So this is the technique. Mechalkim kaloyos ve'egoizim l'tinoikos b'shvil shelo yishnu, they should not fall asleep. Some say that you give him in order that he should ask a question. You want to open up his mind. Why are you giving me treats tonight? Once a child opens up his mind and he's in the mode of asking a question, and if you don't scream at him and quiet him down, he becomes bold. Oh, I have only one question. I have other questions. I have other questions to ask you. It's a technique in order to open up his mind, to put him in a mindset where he will have a desire to ask questions. That's why we distribute kaloyos ve'egoizim. But the Sar Shalom Shel Bells, he says a very beautiful idea. Where did you get those nuts from? Where did you get them from, those nuts? You went to the store, you went to Oh Nuts, you went to the Nuttery in Borough Park, you went online, you bought it in your pomegranate. Where did you get those nuts from? When did you buy those nuts? The Sar Shalom Shel Bell says, you bought those nuts Erev Rosh Hashanah. Aleph Tishrei, Erev Rosh Hashanah. On the way back from the mikvah, you went into O Nuts, and you walk into the store, and you say, do you have some kosher LePesach nuts? They say, sir, it's not Pesach tonight. It's Rosh Hashanah. You got your holidays all mixed up. So you tell them, no. I didn't get my holidays mixed up. I know tonight is Rosh Hashanah. Just answer the question. Do you have in stock kosher LePesach nuts? Yes, we do. All of our products are kosher LePesach, don't you know? So, you go and you buy kosher LePesach nuts Erev Rosh Hashanah. You come to the Seuda after the long davening Friday night. L'shana toiva tikosei v'seichoseim la'altar l'chayim toivim l'sholoim. You give your children brachos, and then you take out of your pocket the nuts that you purchased in the morning on the way back from the mikvah and from the store, the egoizim, and you say to your children, look, I have a treat for you. I'm not giving it to you. Because egoiz is b'gematria chet. Everyone knows this. Chet without the Aleph, without the Aleph, without the Aleph, chet without the Aleph. Egois is b'gematria chet. You're not getting the nuts because today is Rosh Hashanah. And in Rosh Hashanah, we are mispalel that Hashem should forgive us for our, it's part of the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. It's the first day leading to Yom HaKippurim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, don't eat nuts on the night of Rosh Hashanah, because egois is begimatria chet, sin. You don't want there to be sins. So, my kinderlach, sorry, I went to the store, I bought the nuts to give to you as a delicacy in honor of the Yom Tov, but I can't give it to you. Sorry, and you put this away in your buffet, you put it away in safekeeping, like the Afikoman. And now it comes night of Pesach, 6 months later, and 15 days, and you come to the Seder, you go to the bookcase, you open up that drawer where you put the nuts away, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you say to your Kindlach, ah, now you can have the nuts. Mechalkim koloyos v'egoizim l'tinoikos and the Lel Seder. The same egoizim that you did not distribute on Erev Rosh Hashanah at night is what you give your children. What? Oh, but it's chet, ches tes, it's chet. Godol teshuva. The teshuva is it reaches ad hakis yakovod, ad is when you do teshuva, does teshuva turn your chatoim into zechuyos, or does it turn your chatoim into shigogos? We have two mamori chazal that when a person does an avera and he does teshuva, then the avera is considered only to be a shkoga, not an avera done with intent, but done by accident. But another Maimon Chazal says that when you do teshuva, then not only are you not going to be responsible for your sins become a merit. Then it's hapich to a merit. Contradiction, does teshuva transform your sins to a shkoga, or does teshuva transform your sins into merits? It depends on what kind of teshuva you do. If you do teshuva meyira, fear, then it's a shkoga. If you do teshuva me'ahava, love, then your sin becomes a zuchus. On Rosh Hashanah, in Tishrei, it's teshuva meyira. So you say to your children, you have a lot of sins. We all have a lot of sins. The most we can hope for on Rosh Hashanah is to do teshuva meyira, which will transform the sins into shkogas. But a shkoga is a shkoga. Chet is a chet. I may not be responsible for it, but I'm not proud of it. And therefore, I'm not giving it out tonight. But when you come to Pesach, Pesach is a zman of ahava, of love. And then the teshuva transforms the chet into a merit, into a zuchus. So the teshuva of Rosh Hashanah, through the service of the entire year, it develops, it's nurtured, and it is transformed not just from a teshuva meyira, but to a teshuva me'ahava, and now those nuts, those chatoim, are now our pride and joy. They're zechuyos, and now you distribute the nuts to the kindlach, to the children. A very powerful art from Tsar Shalom Shel Bells. And what is it in essence doing? It is directly connecting the Lel Seder to the Lel Reish Hashan. The Lel Seder is the culmination, it's the climax of the Avodah you have started on Reish Hashan. On Reish Hashan, it's time to get serious about life. We've done Averos, we're guilty, we're doomed. There's going to be a bolt of lightning that's going to come out of the sky and strike us down. We do teshuva meyira, but it's a process. The process of teshuva begins, and you have to go through the steps. You can't skip steps. And when you do teshuva, you start off, okay, be afraid of punishment. And after you achieve that, you then work more to do teshuva me'ahava. And as we go through these 6 months and 15 days, and you go through the year, it's a continuous process. And the truth is, it culminates to a certain degree 30 days before Pesach on Purim. Kimu v'kiblu, kimu mashakiblu kvar me'ahava sanes. It was because of the love of the miracle, this, that they originally only accepted the Torah because of Yira. Now they re-accepted the Ahava. Purim is the Yom Tov of Ahava. And that comes after the long process of Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Chanukah, Purim. You're going all the way up. It's a continuous ascent until you reach Pesach, the Shleimus of Ahava. And this is all captured in one of the first halachas of the Seder, Mechalkim Kiloyos Ve'egoizim Litinoikos. You distribute parched kernels of wheat, and what we're focusing on for this moment is the egoizim, the nuts, at the beginning of the Seder. Why? So the children should not fall asleep, the children should ask questions. Sar Shalom, why? What's this bizarre minug? This simon in Shulchan Aruch is connected to another simon in Shulchan Aruch that says that the minug is you don't eat nuts on Leil Rosh Hashanah because egois is bigimatria chait, and chait is no good on Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? It means don't forget Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to the store and ask them at the store, do you have kosher LePesach nuts? And when they look at you like you have lost your mind, like you're nuts, maybe you're the nut. Who's cooking the store with the fish? The fish is in the frying pan. And it wakes up, and it smells, and the fish says, who's cooking fish? And the balabas looks down. You're cooking fish. You ask them in the store, do you have a kosher LePesach nuts on Erev Rosh Hashanah? You're the nut. Today is Erev Rosh Hashanah, not Erev Pesach. Not Erev Pesach. It's a Michal's joke I just told you. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. You don't understand. I'm buying the nuts now for Pesach, because I'm going to tease my children tonight with these very nuts and say you can't have them because it's chait. You're going to do teshuva tonight, meyira, but you're going to work on yourself throughout the entire year that the aveirot should not just be shegogois. They should be zuchuyois. They should be merits. They should be a catalyst to come close to Hashem. And then we'll distribute them as our pride and joy on the night of Pesach. So it's a direct connection to Rosh Hashanah. Okay? That's number one. Next, number two. What about the Aseres Yemei? No, there's more. There's another connection. Another connection. You dip. Shevachol HaLeilois. This is yesterday's daf. Shevachol HaLeilois. There's a whole long Gemara. The Gemara goes back. Shevachol HaLeilois. Onu Matbilin. Pamachas. Halayla has, no, that's what we said. That was at the Gemara. The Gemara is all Shach Vitaria. What does it say in the Mishnah? It says in the Mishnah, we dip once. Halayla hazesh tepon. Fnek the Gemara. Really? Every night you dip? Who dips every night? Shabachal halaylas einanu chayovim. We're not obligated to dip. Then the Gemara says, what? That means that tonight we're chayiv to dip? You're not chayiv to dip nothing. The reason why you dip is kadesh yishalu hatinoi guys. It's you can't use the term that you're obligated. You're right. I'm sorry. Shebechol halelois ein onu matbilin afilu pamachas. We don't dip. We don't. No dipping at all. Halayla hazeh shtei pamim. What's the worst havamina? Oh, the Mishnah doesn't say that. Well, the Mishnah didn't know this whole chadgadia. What is Shemuchol Halelois Anu Matbilin? The Mishnah says, read my lips. Shemuchol Anu Matbilin Pamachas. Rabbeinu HaKadosh didn't know this, that we don't dip, and the whole not chayiv to dip. He said this for a reason. He said this, he knew what he was saying. You know, what was he saying? Shemuchol Halelois doesn't mean every night of the year. It means every night of Rosh Hashanah. What do you do the night of Rosh Hashanah? Dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha loud and clear. This is the Minhag Yisrael from time immemorial. You dip! You dip the apple in the honey. Why do you dip the apple in the honey? Why? Ashana toiva umesuka. A sweet year. What is the apple? The tapuach. No, there's a lot of Kabbalah. I don't know all the Torah on the apple. Why dafka? The apple is the whatever the apple is. Eitz hadas. The chakal tapuchim. The Kabbalistic apples of Gan Eden. You want it? In Gan Eden is described as a orchard of apples. In the Zemirois, the Askinu Seudasa that we recite on Shabbos, we mention the Chakal Tapuchim, the orchard. The orchard of apples. This doesn't mean apples, the red apple you buy in Blue Ribbon. This is. You know, Kabbalistic stuff. This is the delicacies of Olam Haba, the Tainig of Olam Haba. We want to bring that into this world. We want to take the Me'ein Olam Haba of Shabbos and bring it into our year. We dip the apple of Gan Eden in the honey of this world, the Dvash. Listen, we can dash in the whole day. What is this all about? But one thing is for sure, whatever all this means. Whatever it means, bring spirituality into this world. We should have a year. We're doing on Rosh Hashanah something symbolic of requesting from Hashem that we should have a year of blessing, of spiritual blessing. Tonight, on Pesach, Onu matbilim shtepanim, and as you know, in the way the children they say, once we dipped karpas in salt water, and then we dipped the moror in the charoses. Those dippings are not very pleasant. Dipping the karpas in the salt water represents the tears, the tsoros of Klal Yisrael, Jewish history. Is drenched with blood and with tears. Tsar. The salt water is the tears of Klal Yisrael. The moror is the bitterness. This is yesterday's daf as well. The bitterness of the tsaros dipped in the charoses, which, by the way...
Make it with the apple.
Exactly, okay? Apple, exactly. Why apple? It's the same apple. It's the same apple as the leftovers from Rosh Hashanah. Exactly. This is not Lutzanis. I'm telling you, it's serious stuff. It's the leftover apple. The Sar Somshul Bells, he says the nuts. He doesn't say this is a joke. This is serious stuff. Same thing. The apple that you're dipping in your moror, that apple was the object which you dipped. Here it's the opposite. Here the moror is being dipped in the apple. And what else is there in the market? You have to, you know, elaborate a little bit more, but not just generally. The charoses basically represents tzaros. It represents the mortar piece of it. I'm saying it's the building of the shibud of Klal Yisrael, the mortar of building the bricks, making the quota of bricks. V'chulu v'chulu. We are drawing from Rosh Hashanah. We're contrasting. There's a direct contrast between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach. On Rosh Hashanah, we had our eyes high in the air, high up in the sky. A new year began. We dipped once, a symbolic dipping. The symbolic dipping of the apple, which represents spirituality. Dvash, we'll learn now. Eretz, Zovas, Cholov, Dvash. The Dvash represents this world. We wanted to bring into this world holiness, bracha. And here we are. In other words, we start off the year, Rosh Hashanah. When you dive in Rosh Hashanah, what do you do? What do you do in the Nusach of what do you do in the Nusach HaTfil of Rosh Hashanah? Hamelech, the Simloi Hashem Levad Chal Kol Eretz. The whole nusach of Rosh Hashanah is all about bringing Mashiach. It's all about the end game. No, is it not so? The whole nusach, we take the whole nusach and we think about ourselves. We hijack the nusach of Rosh Hashanah and we make it all into our little world. We need parnasa, we need shaduchim, we need refuah, we need this, we need that. We're very selfish. But if you read the words of the nusach atfila, it doesn't say anything there in the musaf about parnasa, about shaduchim, about refuah. It talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has needs. He created a world to achieve a purpose, and the goal is to achieve that purpose. The purpose is to bring Mashiach. That was the goal, to dip the tapuach from the chakal tapuchin in the dvash. And what do we do? Here we are now, 6.5 months later, and what do we have to say for ourselves? Nothing. We're in galus. We got big problems. We don't know what tomorrow is going to be. We got big tzaras. We dip the lettuce, we dip the celery, the potatoes in the tears. We dip the bitterness of our lives in our other tzaras, the tzaras of the shibud, of the mortar. The contrast is very startling. It's by design. We dipped twice. We had an aspect, we dipped b'chol, shebchol halelois, Anu matbilin pamachas. Halayla hazesh de pam. You know what that means? Shall all of the years of Rosh Hashanah that we've gone through many Rosh Hashanah, and all of those Rosh Hashanah that we've gone through, we had the highest hopes. We were yearning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should bring the Geula, Mashiach should come, and we should be zoiche to the Chakal Tapuchin in the Dvash of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Zavas Chalud Udvash. We dipped once, and you know we've accomplished nothing. Our tzaras are double than our yearning for Bracha. We yearn for Bracha with a single dipping, and our tzaras not only have we not got what we wanted, our yearning for Gula has not arrived, the tzoros that we have are double than what our yearning was. Halayla hazesh deipamim. We dip twice in frustration of our tzoros, in our tears and in our blood. You put some red wine into the Charoises blood, you put into the Charoises, and the apples that was supposed to be the object that you dip, it's the object that we're dipping it into. Our yearning for bracha, Rachmana Litzan, has been transformed into tzara. It's the mamish mehapichu. No, isn't this a zeicher for Rosh Hashanah? I don't mean a zecher in a good way. A lot of the examples I'm going to show you are mamish not good. I don't mean that we're living where we are drawing. Everything that we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is touching upon another one of the Mo'adei Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we have two different examples of right off the bat how you see in Rosh Hashanah. Right away in the beginning of the Seder, we're coming to connect to Rosh Hashanah. We connect with the egoism to teach us that this is the culmination of the process of Teshuvah. We connect with the dipping of the apple in the honey. That was a yearning for spirituality. The Chakal Tepuchin in the Dvash of Eretz Yisrael, we're in Golos. Our aspirations for Geul have failed us miserably. And what do we have today? Tzaras, the salt water. And we have the apple that we were dipping now has become the object which has been dipped into, like the master has become the slave. We're supposed to be on top of the world. Here we are, we're on the bottom of the world. And what else? And it's a double dosage. Okay, that's Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure there are more, but we have to move on to a new holiday, right? Running out of time. Let's go to the next holiday. Not a holiday. Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. What is unique about the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch about the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah? Do things during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah that you don't do the whole year. Some people have a weakness for pas palter, right? Some people, they like Entenmann's, which is total poison. The preservatives they put in that thing are just beyond belief. How anyone can survive. Only people that can eat this stuff are children. Children are amazing. They can eat this stuff. Unbelievable. A water for a duck. Once you become 25 years old, you touch this stuff, you're finished. You're toast. Steladoro, all this, the paspalter, all the paspalter stuff. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Paspalter, cholof stam. Listen, the whole year round, you could eat it. It's kosher, as a hechsher. The OU is very proud to give a hechsher to all of these things. But during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, you should go up one notch. You should strive to be a holy person. Don't eat paspalter. Try not to. Try. If you have the ability not to eat paspalter, I'm not making this up.
That's not the reason I'm laughing.
You should try to be machmir during the Aseres. You should do things during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah that are not halachically required, but they're good things to do. The Sadeh we do have to say there that we're not required to do, according to halacha, but it's not, I can't remember who said actually said, but he actually says, because the Zman of the Seder is a moment that is equal in the world of halacha to the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Where do you see that? We wash for karpas. According to the halacha, this is namesh avir psachim. When a person has a vegetable, or for that matter anything, and you dip a food into liquid, are you obligated to wash netilas yodayim and make a bracha? You're not obligated, but that's really what you're supposed to do. The ikar hadin is, the ikar hadin, when a person is planning to eat a vegetable, or for that matter, and I'm not so sure it's only a vegetable, it could be anything that you're going to eat, you're going to dip your donut in coffee. It's a big shayla. If you dip your donut in coffee, according to the letter of the law, it would appear that you have an obligation to first go to the sink and to wash netilas yodayim, like you regular, 1, 2, 1, 2, and make a bracha. Baruchat Hashem, Elohim Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvayse V'tzivanu Al Netilas Yodayim. Then you go to your donut, and you break off a little piece, and you dip it in the coffee. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Minei Mezoinos. That's what you're supposed to do. Me'ikar Hadin. Anytime you take a food and you dip it into a mashke, you're supposed to wash Netilas Yodayim and make a bracha. That's what it says in the Talmud. That's the halacha. That's the Ikar Hadin. We don't do that. And why? Because anytime you're dipping, you're automatically going to come in contact with liquid. If your hands are shniyos, this is all the sugyas of taharas, as a sheni, and you touch the liquid, so then the liquid becomes a rishon, and then the rishon makes your donut into a sheni, and you're putting in your mouth food that's tamei. Even though today we don't have tumah b'tahara, we still do this as a zecher for bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayam, and the laws of Truma. So anytime you come in contact with a liquid and your hands stam yodayim ashniyos, if you're going to dip a food into a liquid, it's very likely and probable your hands are going to touch the liquid, which will make the liquid tamei, and then it will in turn make the food tamei, and that food can cause Truma to become tamei, and that's a very severe problem. So you're supposed to wash the tilas yodayim. So why don't we wash the tilas yodayim when we dip our donut into a cup of coffee, or dip... Today you go into the store, they have all these exotic salads. They sell for lunch, these exotic salads, and they come with all these types of dips, different things. You can go today, and they have they're very popular in sesame and calves. They have a salad bar. You buy whatever you want to buy. They have dips. Me'ikar hadin, you are required to wash netilas yodayim with the bracha. Even though this is what it says explicitly in the Talmud Bavli, this is not accepted lehalacha. We don't do it. There's no obligation to do it. And if you do it, then you're strange. Mechze ki yohaira. Who do you think you are? No one does this. You're more religious than everyone else. You're more religious than all the rabbis that don't do this. You're more religious than your parents. Who do you think you are to do this? Behave yourself. Very nice. It says this in the Gemara. Really, this is what we all should be doing. But for whatever the reasons are, it was a bit too difficult to demand this custom from the entire Klal Yisrael. So it was accepted as a given that we do not do this. It's not recorded in Shulchan Aruch. V'zehu, you don't do it. Finish. So why then the Lel Seder do we do it? At the Lel Seder, before you dip your celery, your radish, your potato, this year you have to make sure it's a non-gender specific potato that you dip into your salt water. When you dip your salt, your potato into, that's going to be the big joke this year. When you dip the potato into the salt water, why are you first going to the sink? Kadesh Urchatz. We're now going to wash. Why are you going to wash? Because we're going to dip a vegetable into a liquid. But don't make a bracha, because even though that far we don't want to go. We don't want to go so far to make a bracha. That's already an extreme, but we're going to wash. And I'm sure you could find shitas that say you make a bracha, but we don't do that. That's the lahalacha. But probably back in the day they did make a bracha. We don't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha. We wash. Why? If the whole year yesterday when you ate your coffee and you dipped the coffee into the donut, you didn't wash. Why are you washing today? So you know what it says in the Paiskim? I should have written down who says this, but it's because the Seder is the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. The sanctity of the Seder brings you up to the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. And during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, you do things that you don't do the whole year. It's not a halacha, but you have to upgrade your sanctity. The whole year, you eat paspalter? Good. That's perfectly permitted. The OU gives a very good hechsher on paspalter. But during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, we advise you don't. Raise yourself during these 10 days to a higher spiritual level. After it's over, you can go back. It's a different time. Tonight's the Seder. The Seder has the status of the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. You do things tonight in halacha that you don't have to do, but because of the sanctity of the moment, we do things a little bit different here tonight. The whole year round, you don't wash when you dip a vegetable. Tonight you're going to wash. Because that's really what you should do the whole year. We don't do it. But what am I trying to bring out? Look at that. We just proved that the Seder, we are drawing from Rosh Hashanah. And now I'm showing you in the halacha, the Urchatz, is to draw from the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Put yourself in that frame of mind of the holiness of Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzai Kiru'uhu Bihi Yoisoi Koroif. The Aseres Yimei Teshuvah is a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is near you. There's a closeness. That's the Lel Seder. Okay, now we come to Yom HaKippurim. That's very easy. What do you wear at the Seder? You wear a kittel. I remember once someone said to me that he finds it nauseating to come on Rosh Hashanah to see someone have a wine stain on his kittel. It's just, he got really worked up. How could you come to shul on Rosh Hashanah with a wine stain from the Seder on your kittel? How could you do such a horrible thing? Now I'm referring over here, let's discuss the kittel, because the kittel, you should know, many people wear the kittel on Rosh Hashanah as well, but the Iker Zman to wear the kittel is on Yom HaKippurim. Most people, I don't really know, I can't really tell you, everyone has their different minhagim, but everyone wears, but a nice chunk of Klal Yisrael wear a kittel on Yom HaKippurim. Do they also wear on Rosh Hashanah? No, not everyone. Some do, some don't. But Yom Kippur is the Zman to wear the kittel. When you see someone dressed in a kittel, you think about Yom Kippur. Now this fellow got very worked up. He got very scared. But then I remember learning years later, I came across a sefer where the Mechaber, he was quoting a Chassidish Rebbe from previous generations who bedafka. If he had two kittels, one that was pristine and one that was stained with the yayin from the manish, from the seder, he would wear on Yom Kippur the kittel that had the stain. Why? He wanted it to be a suchus on the yom HaKadosh, on the yom HaDin, that Hashem should see the kittel with the wine stains and remember that moment of ahava, of the Lel Seder. He should take that zuchus with him into the Yom HaDin. It was a badge of honor to come to Yom HaKippurim with the kittel that had the wine stain on it. Because you want to bring the love of Yom HaKippurim, the zuchus of Klal Yisrael, with you into the Yom HaDin. Now, I don't know if today's day and age, in our generation, that's something which is very acceptable to do. Not likely. You're not going to score points today by coming to shul with a dirty kittel. No way. But you understand, you appreciate the idea. The idea is there. And to a certain degree, that's why we wear a kittel. We wear a kittel to remember the Yom HaDin. There are many reasons why you wear a kittel. Some people not so crazy about wearing it. Not everyone wears a kittel. You should know. I know that. I'm very well aware of that. That there are people who are misnage to wearing a kittel. There are no question. There are groups of people that are very disturbed with this custom of wearing a kittel on Yom HaKippurim. I don't know. I have great respect for them. But the vast majority of Klal Yisrael does wear a kittel at the Lel HaSeder. That is a fact. Not to insult anyone that does not. Your minig is your problem. I'm going to just focus for the moment on those who do, which I believe is the majority. Anyone here, by the way, anyone here that does not wear this as a minig bedafka, not to wear a kittel at the Seder? Is there anyone here as such a minig? Okay, whatever it is, but you're dressed for Yom Kippur. You're dressed for Yom Kippur. And why? So some say if you're going to drink four cups of wine, you're going to loosen up a little bit. We don't want you to get a little carried away with yourself at the Seder. When you're surrounded with your children, you have good food, and you're celebrating, you got to remember the Yom HaDin. Don't forget about the Yom HaDin. Don't forget where you're heading, where we're all heading. We're all heading for the Yom HaDin HaGadol. So right then and there, right in front of us, just the way we're dressed, is we're incorporating Yom HaKippurim into the Seder. Okay, let's now go to Sukkos. What do we have? What is there about Sukkos that connects the Seder to Sukkos? I'll give you two examples, and I mean them seriously. It's a bit weak. Again, I do have some missing links in this whole thesis, and I encourage you to fill in the missing links with me. But I'll give you just two very simple examples. Number one, let's go back to dipping. The celery karpas. Karpas is a very frightening part of the Seder. To take the vegetable and to dip it, karpas is a Russian. What is karpas? It's samach perach. Six, the letters of karpas spell samach perach. Perach means crushing labor. 600,000 people were subjected to crushing labor. We dip it in salt water, which represents tears. What do we do on Sukkos? The 7 days, even 8 days, we shaftim mayim besosin, nimayne ha'yeshua. Simchas beis ha'sho'eva. We draw water. We draw fresh, drinkable, pure, pristine water in the Beis HaMikdash. Misham she'avim ruach hakodesh. It brings us incredible joy. What it represents, the whole union of simchas beis hasho'eva. U'shaftem mayim besasa. What do we do on Lel Seder? the water is bitter, salt water. It's the beginning of the Seder. Karpas, Samach, 600,000 people, Klal Yisrael, they suffered crushing hard labor. And we symbolize this with the vegetable dipping, which was the karpas, samach perach, dipping in salt water. Just the opposite. We're trying to draw a contrast. The goal is not everything is so pleasant. A lot of the things I'm going to present you we're trying to draw a direct contrast to Sukkos. Whereas on Sukkos, it was Ushafte mayim besosan. That's the avoid of Sukkos. The samachta bechagecha, the chayisa ach sameach. Ushafte mayim besosan. Here, the water of tonight is not very happy. It's not happy water. It's water of tears. It's the complete opposite. We reflect. The contrast should be glaring. It should be glaring, the contrast of what Sukkos is all about to what we are reflecting upon. The Seder is not it's a very big mistake to think that the Seder is all a wonderful, happy event. It's not. If you look at the Seder very carefully, more than half of the things of the Seder are very bitter. It's like a Tisha B'Av almost. For that reason, the first time of Pesach is Tisha B'Av. Half of the things of the Seder are really very, very painful if you really pay attention to what you're doing. Lechem oini, a broken piece of wood. We are homeless people. You go on the subway, you see what they look like, these people. It's how pathetic it is. That's what you're doing in the Lel Seder. You're making yourself into one of these beggars on the subway. It's a horrific thing. A broken piece of bread. Anyone have some bread? You can give me some food. You have your little speech on the train. That's what we're doing. You have a broken piece of bread. Lechem oini, poor man's bread. Moror. You dip the moror in charoses. You dip the karpas in salt water. Okay, then you go, you have wine. Even the wine. The way the wine is served, they serve the wine to you like an ovel. A free man pours his own wine. A mourner is not allowed to pour his own wine. Tnu yayin le'ovet. But there's a hakpada by the state that someone should give you wine. Why? Because a mourner, like a mourner, you give wine, you drink it, behaseba, as if you're a free man. There's a very strong mix of sadness with happiness at the Lil Seder. And the karpas is certainly a very sad thing, and it's glaring the difference between ushafte mayim besosan imayna hayeshua of Sukkos with what we're doing of the tsar, the mayim, specifically Chazal instituted salt water. Now, on the other hand, there's an element of Sukkos that's very beautiful. It's extremely beautiful. And that is, what is a sukkah? Tsei midiras keva vikones lidiras arai. The whole purpose of sukkahs is get out of your house. You're living in a palace, in a beautiful home, the beautiful table with your finest furniture, chandelier, linens, tapestries, servants. That's not Sukkos. On Sukkos, Golos, Tsei midiras keva vikones lidiras arai. Get out of your house and go into a hut. Go into a hut with some shvach eschach. The first moment it rains, you get wet. There are bees. There are rodents. It's not a very pleasant thing to go into the sukkah. Let's be honest. Sukkah is a diras arai. There's a hakpada. Kocho toichlu oisoi. This is the way you eat the Korban Pesach. You eat in the bayis. I've got the pasuk. Remember the pasuk. The pasuk goes on to say over and over. You eat the Korban Pesach in the bayis, in your mokom kavua, in your home. And not only do you eat in your home, you make sure your home is in a state of shlemos. You bring out your finest kelim, your finest furniture.
Bayis echad
yeochel. Don't leave that bayis. And what is sukkah? Tzei midiras ara keva. V'koneis liya. Tzei, get out here. Mamish, loisotzi min habayis. You got to eat it in the bayis. You're not going to tell me that this is not a response to sukkos. When you come to the Seder, you're now, you know, this galus. We went through a tekufa of sukkos. We were in exile. But now, Baruch Hashem, here we are. We made it back home. Here we are. We're free men.
Please press on screen.
Okay, we're coming.
Or scan your monthly card.
Okay, we're coming. We are returning, or we're giving an example of what it means to be one with Hashem, to return home. It is a glaring contrast to the Tzei Midiras Keva of Sukkos. Pesach, the Inyan is to have the Seder specifically in the bayis. Loisoitzi min habayis chutza. In contrast to Sukkos of Tzei Midiras Keva, Vikones Lidiras Sarai. Now there is another example of where we connect in some small way. Geshem to Tfilas Tal. I hear. But let's focus on the Seder itself. Let's focus on things that we mamish do at the Seder itself. Okay, it's true. Okay. Now there's another thing which is a little bit, what I'm saying is not 100% accurate, but there is another idea of where at the end of the Seder we open up the door for the Kosh Shel Eliyahu. What exactly do you do when you open up the door for the Kosh Shel Eliyahu? Do you go outside? Or do you just open up the door? So there is a lot of Torah. There are different minhagim. Many different reasons. Many will tell you that the simplest reason why you open up the door and you go outside is to make sure there are no blood libels. Because back time in Chazal, there were people that were looking to make trouble, to make blood libels. So Chazal instituted you should do an inspection. Shmirah, you do an inspection in the middle of the Seder to make sure there are no goyim outdoors looking to make trouble for you. Okay, ayin panim l'Torah. But there are other reasons given that are more midrashic, more.
That goes against
Leil Shimur. But b'mokarim sheyesh shakon hezeka shchichi loy samachin al hanes. Where hezeka rachman l'sanim, there have been plenty of tzars that have happened to Klal Yisrael on the night of Pesach. The makom where this is shchicha hezeka, then you cannot rely upon a nisim. But there is such a principle that this you have to search to find if it's really correct. What I'm saying is that when you at the level of Seder, when it comes to Shvei Chamoscha El Hagoyim, you leave your house. You are following the Sukkos mandate. When you come to the portion of the Haggadah where you have to reflect Shvei Chamoscha El Hagoyim Asher Lo Yidaticha, when you say that entire section where you're reflecting upon the Tzoros the Goyim brought upon us, that those words do not belong at in your home. There are certain parts of the Haggadah you cannot say in your home. It's a contradiction to what the entire Seder is all about. The Seder is all about loisoitzi min habayis chutza. The Seder is all about geula, redemption. Here we are. The enemy has been defeated. The enemy has been eliminated. We have nothing to worry about. You want to now go talk about a request for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to eliminate the enemy, to destroy our enemies? That means that's not the Seder. That is a contradiction to what the Seder is all about. So why do we say it? Because you can't ignore reality. Just because we're having a Seder and we're commemorating what happened in the past, our Geula, which is a template for the Geula Hasida, but right now we're in Golus. And right now we have big tzaras on our hands. And right now it's an Eis Rotz, and we have to be Mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to eliminate our enemies and to protect us from our enemies. But this part of the Haggadah where we make that request in the most desperate way cannot be said in the bayis. You can't say that in your bayis because the environment of the bayis is Pesach is a posach yala Pesach, is geula, is yitzias mitzrayim. It doesn't go. It's the antithesis. You can't. These words don't belong here. You don't go to a cemetery and have a birthday party, and you don't go rent out a chapel to make a birthday party. This is not the way it goes. And in a wedding hall, you don't have a funeral. There are places where it's just not appropriate to do certain things. A wedding hall is for weddings. You don't make a funeral in a wedding hall. You don't go and make a birthday party, a wedding, in a chapel. That's just not the way it goes. The bias, the night of Pesach, is sacred. It is a reenactment of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is a reenactment of the Korban Pesach, Leisotzim Nabayis Chutzah. Oh, but we live in the world of reality. Let's not fantasize too much. Let's not forget that we're in Golis, and we have to use this moment as an Eis Rasa, the Prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to save us from our enemies. That's right, but don't say those words in your bias. Open up the door and go outside. Go outside and don't defile. Do not contaminate the bias with such a prayer in your bias. The prayer has to be said, but not in the bias. Open up the door and go outside and say it. If you're opening up the door and you're going outside to say, what are you really doing? You're reliving the Sukkos experience. What is Sukkos all about? Golos. Tsei midiras keva vikones lidiras arai. Diras arai is golos. Leave your home. Leave the comfort of your comfort zone of the bias. So when you come to a part of the Seder and you open up the door, because you cannot defile the bias with those words, you have to say it outside. What are you really doing? Tonight is Sukkos. You are reenacting the Sukkos experience of Tzei Midiras Keva. Leave the Diras Keva. You're not going into it by the Yisrael, you're not going that far, but you're touching upon the theme of Sukkos. Okay, running out of time, let's do another quick idea. Yeah, Michal has a question here. Yeah.
I'm looking at it from a different angle. The first half of the Seder is about Golus. It's about our past.
Correct.
And our present. And the second half
is about Geula.
Is about,
absolutely,
looking forward. So when we go out, what we're saying is we're expressing...
We're saying goodbye. We're saying goodbye.
A hope for the future.
Right. I am part of the Torah. Absolutely. Every little part of the Seder you can look at in many, many different ways. I'm just trying to give you one little teeny perspective with just to bring out these points of trying to show that in the Seder you have elements of every single one of the Moadim. Okay, let's give another quick example. Hanukkah. Where do you see a reenactment of Hanukkah in the Seder? What part of the Seder touches directly upon the theme of Hanukkah? Now, let me give you an example of something which
surge.
I find... What?
The surge.
What do you mean, the surge? We have a surge?
Yeah, we have
a surge.
Search for the...
Oh, the search. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, you're saying something interesting. Okay, this is more of a halachic idea, and there's a big controversy. Halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh, do you say halel in the Beis HaKnesses before you begin to say that? Okay, everyone knows this controversy. You daven Meir before you come home. Before you come home to the Seder, you daven Meirev. And then when Meirev is over, you're a different minhagim. In some shuls, they finish Shmon Esrei, they recite Kaddish Sholem, Aleinu, goodbye, Kaddish Yosem, everyone goes home. Halal, who ever heard of Halal? What are you talking about? That's really the pure minhag Ashkenaz, supposedly, is not to recite Halal. And then you have the other extreme, where we used to do this in the Young Israel, is before Tiskabel? I don't even remember. I forgot already. Before Tiskabel? I think it's even before Tiskabel. You finish the Shemoyne Esrei, and before you recite Kaddish Tiskabel, the Shliach Tzibur begins Halal. Baruch Atah Hashem makes a bracha. Everyone in the Tzibur makes the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Kimel Chol Masher Kedushan B'mitzvah Svanu L'Kroyas HaHalal. And you recite the entire Halal. Then when they finish, Kaddish Tiskabel, Yiskadal V'Yiskadash Shmei Rabah. I don't even remember exactly. There are different minhagim how to do it. And then Aleinu, Kaddish Yosam. Some shuls do something in between. They finish Ma'ariv and they say Kaddish Yosam, and then they say Halal for those who want to stay. There are many different minhagim exactly how to do it. Many shuls today, in some shape or form, do have an opportunity during Ma'ariv, after Ma'ariv, to recite the complete Halal on Mitzoy, the night of the Seder in the Beis HaKnesses. Question is, why? Why is that so? So there are many different reasons. Some will tell you that the Halal that they're reciting is the Halal that we would have recited when we offer the Korban Pesach. The Shul is the base, is the Mikdash Me'at, and Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, it says in the Mishnah, when they brought the Korban Pesach, they recited Halal as they did the Shechita HaPesach. So Bizman HaZeh, we're not doing Shechita HaPesach. So we're losing out on that Halal. No, you make it up. You recite Halal in the Beis HaKnesses at night, Bitzibur. This is the Halal of the Shechita HaPesach that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Here we do it in the Mikdash Ma'ad as well. Others will tell you that there's a din of reciting Halal with a minion. When you're going to come home, you're not going to have a minion. You're not going to even be able to make a bracha because we divide the Halal into two parts. And there's a hefsik, and you don't have a minion. So before you go home, you have a minion. You do it in one shot. You do it the right way with the bracha, the sechiv. There are other reasons given. I don't remember the other reasons, but there's one reason that really resonated with me, and it shook me up a little bit. And that is, it's an incredible chiddush, is the halal that you recite in the Beis HaKnesses is 100% equivalent to lighting the menorah, the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses on the nights of Chanukah. Now let's understand something. The mitzvah of Chanukah is ner ish ubeisoy. You light the Chanukah, the takonas chazal, beyond the shadow of a doubt, is to light the Chanukah menorah in one place only, in your home. Nowhere in the words of Chazal is there anything written about lighting the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. Does not exist. This is a new minhag, a new modern minhag, to light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. The Ikar Takon is to light the Chanukah menorah at home, ner ish ubeisoy. You light it outside, mibachutz, besumenisa, one ner for the whole family, moisev ahoylech, the whole Torah, all the different shitas, each one in the family lights, everyone's moisev ahoylech, everyone knows all the whole sugya of, but the Beis HaKnesses, mandekar shemei, what are you lighting in the Beis HaKnesses? At some point in time in our history, it became a minhag, a very strange minhag, to light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. And not only to light it in the Beis HaKnesses, believe it or not, to go so far and to make a bracha, b'shem u'malchus, in the Beis HaKnesses, this is a tremendous chiddush. Incredible chiddush. And most poskim say that's where it stops. You light it in the house. The Beis HaKnesses already chiddush. To go do what Lubavitch does, many poskim are not happy. They're not happy to go light the menorah out in the street. Ceremonies of politicians, and who ever said to do that? You want to light gezunte, but to make a bracha in front of the world? The only place where you light the menorah is ner ish ubeso, in your home. There is a minhag, which we don't even have a clear source as to the permissibility of lighting with the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses, but to go light all over the place, out there in the entire world, to light massive size menorahs and to make a ceremony where you make a bracha, wow, that's really, really pushing the envelope. But listen, to each his own. This is there are different minhagei Yisrael, and obviously they understand that the meaning of lighting the Beis HaKnesses is a opening to light it not just in the Beis HaKnesses, but to light it in any public venue with a bracha. Okay, fine. So I saw recently, I think I saw in the Avnei Shoyam, he cites this incredible chiddush, maybe not there, maybe somewhere else, reciting Halal in the Beis HaKnesses is the equivalent of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. Now, what do we mean? Now, let's take a step back. I'm now trying to build something. Why Taka did the minhag come about to light the menorah Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses? So this is what I want to explain. The very big chiddush. Bizman hazeh, not really in America, but for many generations, we were unable to light the Chanukah menorah mi Pesach beisoy mi bachutz. We were unable to light the Chanukah menorah by the window because sakana. When the non-Jews see us lighting the Chanukah menorahs, it awakens hatred. Halacha biyadua esav soyne Yaakov. It awakens them. Tzoros. So we were scared. So it says in the Gemara, Feirush Gemara, b'shas ha-sakana, manichoy al shulchanoi v'dayoy. When there's a sakana, just light the Chanukah menorah on your dining room table, v'dayoy, and that's sufficient. So we stopped lighting the menorah outside, and we didn't even light it in the window because of the sakana. Problem is, the chelik of the mitzvah of Chanukah candles is persume nisa for the world. The whole world, or at least amongst us, the Jewish community, has to have that persume nisa. It's not enough the persume nisa in your own bias. There must be a persume nisa for the world. But that we were not able to do because b'mnei sakana, we could not light the Chanukah candles in public. So Chazal said, to make up for the absence of the Iker Halacha of the Pesume Nisa for the Tzibur, light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses at the time of davening with a bracha. Lighting the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha replaces the lighting of the menorah in public. In your window, on your windowsill, or outdoors. When you lit on your windowsill or outdoors, then people in the street saw the Pesume Nisa. B'shas HaSakana, that came to an end. No one saw it. So an Iker Chelek of the Pesume Nisa is absent. So you can't let that go by. Very good. You're lighting the Chanukah menorah in your own home. So the B'nai Bayis, this Pesume Nisa for the Yechidim, for the individuals, for the B'nai Bayis. But there's another dimension of Pesume Nisa that is required for the Tzibur. Under ordinary circumstances, when you light your Chanukah menorah outside your front door, on the left side, excellent. So you mean mekayim the Pesume Nisa for the B'nai Bayis and for the Tzibur. But b'zman hazeh b'shas ha-sakana, you're only having the Pesume Nisa for the B'nai Bayis. You're missing the Pesume Nisa for the Tzibur. What are you going to do? So the Omesakein will light it indoors in the Beis HaKnesses for the Tzibur. Oh, that's how we'll restore what Chazal wanted, that the Ner Chanukah should also have Pesume Nisa for the Tzibur. What am I trying to, and therefore, so what by extension, what are we doing? When you sit in your home and you recite Hallel with your family around your Pesach Seder table, what are you doing when you're reciting Hallel? Persume Nisa. Ner ish ubesai. But what about the Pesume Nisa of the Tzibur? The very nature of the Seder is a private event. It's for the B'nai Bayis. You close your door in the, this is Lo Seitzei Min HaBayis Chutza. It's a Pesume, the whole nature of the Seder is a Pesume Nisa for the B'nai Bayis. What's going to be the Pesume Nisa of the Seder for the Tzibur? It's just like Chanukah. You go to shul. And in shul, just like in shul, you light the Chanukah menorah in order that there should be, that the Chanukah menorah should be in the Pesume Nisa for the Tzibur. The Hallel that you are reciting in the Beis HaKnesses is the Hallel that you're reciting at home. It's not the same Hallel. When you daven Shacharis in the morning, so you sing Hallel. No, Hallel on the day. It's today is Pesach. The Hallel that you recite in the Beis HaKnesses at the Lel Pesach is taking the Hallel that you will recite in the Bayis and being mefarsem it to the Tzibur. Just like there's a minhag to light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, Bisman Hazeh, because we cannot light the Chanukah menorah the way it's meant to be lit, to be mefarsem the nes for the Bayis and for the Tzibur, because of the Sakana. So we light it inside only for the Bnei Bayis, and to compensate for the fact that the Tzibur is not seeing us do this, so we do it in the Beis HaKnesses as well. It's the same exact thing, the Lel Pesach. Before you go home, before you leave the Beis HaKnesses, while you're still at Tzibur, you tell Rabbi Isai, I'm going to be mefarsem the neis with my bias in the house. But the Persume Nisa demands everyone should know about the Persume Nisa. So let's do it here in Shul and make a bracha, just like when we light the Chanukah menorah in Shul. It's the same thing. So what am I trying to take out of this? It's Chanukah. Pesach is Chanukah. The same element of Persume Nisa that we do on Chanukah, we do a Maisa to be Mefarsem the Nes, and that Maisa has to be not just for the Bnei Bayis, has to be Nisparsem for the whole world. You got to do the same thing Lil Pesach. You're going to stay in that home, you're going to sing Hallel with your family. Persume Nisa, the laws of Persume Nisa of Lel Pesach are equivalent to the laws of Persume Nisa Lel Chanukah. You have to be Mefarsem in Shul, to Mefarsem the Hallel that you're saying at home. Okay, so far, let me give you one more. Purim is easy as pie. The miracle of Purim happened on Pesach. Right? That's easy as can possibly be. Where is Purim? Where does Purim appear? Where does Purim appear on Pesach? Well, the Nes of Purim took place on the calendar date of Pesach. The night of Pesach was the night of the Su'uda. Well, not the Su'uda, it was the night. Well, she fasted. They fasted 3 days. But Lailahu Nodud Hashnas HaMelech took place Lel Pesach. So it's mamish the calendar date of Purim. What about Shavuot? Shavuot is very, very easy. What's so easy about Shavuot? V'hoidatem levonecha ulevnei vonecha Yoim Asher Amadata Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'choyev. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to tell your children, to be mesaper, to make it known to your children what happened at Choyev, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. What is Lil Pesach all about? V'igadata Levincha B'yoyim Ahu Le'emor B'avurza Asa Hashem Asa Hashem Li B'tzeisim Mitzrayim. Both Shavuos and the Lel Seder share a very powerful bond. The obligation to be mefarsem to your children and your grandchildren, what happened? They share this bond to tell them about the event. And if these two are the only two events, not just Vishinantam Levonecha Vidibartaban. That's teach them Torah. Teach them the mitzvahs. That's home called homeschooling. Okay, Vili Madatem Asames Benechem Ledaberbam. Torah is giving you an endorsement on homeschooling. I wouldn't try that at home. Pun intended, but Chazal are telling you about homeschooling. But there's something different. Tell your children about an event. It only says it's concerning two different events. Bavur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim, and tell them about Choyreth. If these are the two events that the Torah demands that you tell your children, it must be that there's a relationship between the two. And in fact, it's Pashut. The purpose, b'hotziach es am mimitzrayim, ta'avdun es hu elokim alo harazeh. The tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim was what? Matan Torah. These two events go hand in hand. It's not for nothing that we begin counting the Yom Mimocharas HaShabbos. The day after Shavuos, we count. Okay, so that is Shavuos, Tisha B'Av. We know it's the same day of the week. The same day of Tisha B'Av is the same day of the week as the first night of Pesach is the same, whatever night is Lil Pesach, is the night of Tisha B'Av. The first night of Tisha B'Av. Okay, then there is really more, which we're out of time. Maybe we'll continue more. We have to talk about Tu B'Shat, talk about Tu B'Av, talk about the Dalet Tzomos. Okay, but at least today we touched upon some of the things. We'll maybe continue with. We touched upon the connection between Rosh Hashanah, between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, two connections. Aser Simei Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, Chanukah. And then we picked up some speed on Shavuos. We spoke about Shavuos very quickly, but there's really more Tisha B'Av we just touched upon. But we have to, there's really more Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Av, and the Dalet Tzomos to be continued to show significant elements of all of the Mo'adim appearing in a very serious form on Lel Pesach, because Lel Pesach really is the template for the entire year. Before we conclude, I want to wish Rav Michal Miller, those who don't know, he gets a very chashuv Mazel Tov. His grandson became a chassan. His grandson's name is?
Benny Miller,
the son of Danny Miller from
Cedarhurst.
Wish him a mazel tov, and that he should continue to see only nachas and brach from all of his children and grandchildren, together with everyone here in the shir. Have a wonderful day, everybody. So I thank you very much for coming and listening. And Mitzvah, we'll see you all later, tomorrow. Be well. Take care.
Mazel tov. Russia's successor has been chosen.
Who's the successor?
Danny Bongino.
Who's he?
Oh.